Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. I am now knee-deep into a novel that I cannot put down. It's called Fall of Giants by Ken Follett. And it's a real fast-paced story, a real page-turner, just like my Sunday sermons. The story takes place in the years leading up to World War I. The so-called war to end all wars. The part of the book that fascinated me the most was the interaction between the imperial powers of the world as it teetered on the brink of war. You might remember that at that period in history, the early 1900s, monarchies were still mighty, like dinosaurs roaming the earth. This was long before the rise of free market democracies and state-sponsored communism. At one point, the novel referenced the Willie and Nicky correspondence. Have you ever heard of that? The Willie and Nicky letters. It's the personal letters that the Tsar in Russia, named Nicholas II, exchanged with his third cousin, the Kaiser in Germany, Wilhelm II. Both men were great-great-grandsons of Paul I of Russia. They were so close and affectionate with each other that they referred to themselves as Nicky and Willie. I think I'll start calling Father Stephen Stevie. Here's an excerpt from one of Tsar Nicholas II's letters. "I foresee that very soon I shall be overwhelmed by the pressure forced upon me and to be forced to take extreme measures which will lead to war. To try to avoid such a calamity as a European war, I beg you, in the name of our old friendship, to do what you can to stop your allies from going too far. Signed, Nicky." And Willie replied with similar sentiments to stave off the impending bloodshed. But we know what happened. Willie and Nicky's respective armies, the Germans and the Russians, tried to annihilate one another off the face of the earth. It is a truism that no matter how great men grow, in power or in prestige, in weapons or in warfare, as czars or as kaisers, sooner or later, history will witness the fall of these giants. Human leadership perennially proves too weak to avoid war, even when the opposing leaders are third cousins. There will never be a war to end all wars. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah also points out the problems with human leadership, even of God's people, and prophesies that ultimately God himself will have to lead his people perfectly. Jeremiah warns, "You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them. I myself," that's God speaking, "will gather the remnant of my flock from the lands to which I have driven them and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply." And this warning, by the way, was not just for the notorious kings like Ahaz or Jeroboam, but was also intended for every king of Israel. Abraham faltered in faith and had relations with his servant Hagar. Moses lost his patience and struck the rock twice, disobeying God. Samson betrayed his Nazarite vow and shaved his head. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah. Solomon's wisdom led him to marry 700 wives. And so on and so forth. Each human leader of the chosen people had a fatal flaw, just like Willie and Nikki. Only Jesus, the Son of God, would one day lead all humanity in holiness and humility. We read in today's gospel, therefore, the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. When Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. In other words, anyone who does not have Christ for his shepherd is essentially like a sheep without a real shepherd. Only the lordship and the leadership of Jesus will one day end all wars. My friends, we do not need to live in the early 20th century in a world ruled by czars and kaisers, but we still have political and even personal giants roaming around and running the world today. Are you shocked when they stumble and fall? How easy it is for us to cast stones and aspersions on presidents and prime ministers when they commit blunders. Their stumbles are spread all across social media. Isn't it human failures that prompt Roman Catholics of Fort Smith to move from parish to parish looking for greener pastures or at least a shorter sermon? No priest is perfect. Sometimes the giants in our lives were once our own parents, who as they grow older evince shortcomings of mind, body, and spirit. And we match their shortcomings with our short tempers. We can even pick apart our popes. "Pope Francis is too liberal with the environment," some complain. Or, "Pope Benedict was too strict with the liturgy," others criticize. All human leaders, all human shepherds, are in the end imperfect, in order to highlight, by contrast, how good the good shepherd, Jesus, will be. Only when we put all our trust in Jesus will we be able to repeat Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, and there is nothing I shall want." Only when the Prince of Peace reigns supreme on earth as it is in heaven will there be an end to all wars. In the meantime, we will wearily watch the fall of giants. The core of Ken Follett's novel can be captured in one brief reflection, by a leading character, a German diplomat named Walter. Walter secretly marries a British duchess by the name of Maud. And that marriage was very taboo for a German to marry a British person. The eve before the war, Walter reminisces ruefully. "My fate is in the hands of two monarchs," Walter thought, "the Tsar and the Emperor. One is foolish and the other geriatric. Yet they control the destiny of Maud and me and countless millions of Europeans." He concludes, "What an argument against monarchy." And the only answer to that argument is the kingship of Christ. Praised be Jesus Christ.